I'm so hoarse tonight I can't hardly talk. I think this is one of the few times in my life that I've ever been this hoarse in my meetings. A lot of times I have a little problem, but never a problem like this. I've heard people speak of the valley, what it does to your throat in Jeffsonville, but this is the first time I've experienced it. It's been a long time since I've had the devil to fight like he has in Jeffsonville. They call this the land of the red devils. I believe it. I really believe it. I've fought devils ever since I come here. We've won out over them, and we'll win out over this one too. Take us a little while, but we'll win out over it. One thing that hurts is when I come here, I start seeking the Lord. And when you start fasting and you start staying in all day and not taking any exercise, it weakens the body down anyway. And then the weather changed all around and it really struck a hard blow. But we'll shake it off. I want to say that I appreciate the faithfulness of those that have come out to be with us. I'd love to just talk with you just a few minutes tonight. And first of all, want to say that we're planning, if the Lord's will, to go through this entire week. The papers called this morning. They called, the Louisville Times called. And they're doing an article on the tent. As a matter of fact, I think they're doing an entire page in the Louisville Times. And they wanted to know if it was going to go the whole week. Whereas my wife said, I cannot tell you because it depends on what God says do. But according to what I had understood of God, we were supposed to go this whole week. And unless he speaks different, we're planning to go the entire week. I know that some of the people have left. Numbers of people come from afar to be in this meeting. And numbers of families have left to return to their home. Whereas numbers of people have gotten cold and they couldn't know tonight that it was going to heat it up a little better. But you spread the word around that we're going to have heat spiritually and naturally. You love Jesus? Hallelujah. We had some friends here last night from Otisco. I didn't know that. I kept looking at somebody over here. And I thought, well, them folks sure look familiar. But I didn't know who they were. But I believe it was the Joneses from out at Otisco. I'm sure sorry I didn't recognize them last night. I recognized them, but it just been so long I didn't remember the name. But we're certainly glad to have had them here last night. Are they still here tonight? Oh, here's sister sitting right here. Forgive me, sister. Glad to have Brother Tommy Parnell with us. Talked to him some last night. Tommy's in the ministry now. They tell me he's doing a good job. And I wonder if this is Bobby. No, favorite Bobby just a little bit. I think Michael's back there too. Glad to have Michael with us. And also Sister Parnell's back here tonight. We're glad to have her. This is the first time that she's been here, and also the daughter. She's here tonight with us. Brother Denny, and also our Assembly of God brothers back tonight. Glad to have him with us. Appreciate Brother Leslie being here with us. And a number of others that are here. Appreciate you being out with us. It's always a pleasure to have you to come and be in service with us. You know, a tent doesn't come to town this often. And people, when a tent does come to town, they should get together and work together and make a great meeting out of it. But there's something about it that people just won't work together. But you know, it's going to be sad in the day of the judgment. I said the other night, if God did send me to Jeffersonville, and I can assure you he did, it's going to be sad. The devil has done everything that he could to hinder the meeting, even going on another week. This very first night, he thought he'd strike my throat and discourage the whole meeting and discourage me. But there's one thing about it. Satan don't discourage me. Sometimes he causes a little shatter to fall over me to the extent it's, Paul said, he hinders me sometimes. But he don't discourage me from my work in God. So it makes little difference to whether I'm hoarse or not. The first night, it could be very discouraging because he's hindered all this past week with the weather conditions. And now the weather conditions is making a little change and he felt like he'd start on something else. But you know what? It doesn't make any difference to me if he makes the stars fall from heaven. As long as God lets them fall all around the tent, we'll go on having revival. That's where I feel. I say, Brother Pike, you're an extremist. I know I am, but I just love it. You love Jesus. A lot of times people, you know, they'll say, ain't you afraid you're going to go off the deep end? I say, no, I've already gone off the deep end. You know, the Bible said, lunge out into the deep. And if you don't get out into the deep, you don't never get a good catch. You ever been fishing in the ocean? If you don't get out into the deep, you never get a good catch. So I've already gone off the deep end. And I'm catching some big things. Some big things. And I hope before this meeting is over that I'll be able to bring some things out to the congregation. This first week, we've had a lot of sinners here. A lot of sinners have come out to this meeting. And I was talking to the Lord today. And I've been in with God all day. I've not been out in my room all day. This is the first time I've been out all day. I've been talking with God all day long. And I come out today to just to come to the meeting. But I was thinking today, I thought, now Lord, as he was talking to me, I thought, now there's some ministers that's going to be sorry that they didn't work with us in this meeting. The Lord spoke to me like this. He said, son, I put over $10,000 in this meeting, not considering the price that went into this tent. And said, I brought people from afar to set a meeting in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And said, I've had people fasting and praying, seeking God. And said, the people that are Christians and the ministers that are local should have been under this tent. He said, I brought sinners from all around here. And said, they didn't have enough strength to do nothing. But said, I brought them to the tent. Said, I put it on television everywhere. I put it in the papers. And said, those ministers and those Christians should have been scattered over the entire congregation. And they should have been praising God. And they should have been praying. And they should have been believing God, that God would convict the hearts of those sinners and that the Spirit of God would have failed and draw those people to Christ. He said, and in the day of judgment, I'm going to require it of them. So folks, as sure as you live in this world, there's some people in Jeffersonville that's already in trouble with God. Because many of those people that come here may never come back. And so I know there's people that's in trouble with God. But I hope in this week's meeting that some of them can find favor with God. I hope some of them can repent. And I hope in this last week of the meeting that they'll say, well, God, I just didn't understand. I didn't know where Brother Pike was coming from, as the world said. I didn't know whether he was with you or not. And I want you to forgive me. Because a lot of times God will make allowance if you really, truly don't understand. But folks, after a week of being here with you, if you don't know anything about me, you'll never know anything about me. If you don't have any more discernment than that, you'll never learn about me. So then tonight, I want to just take this few minutes, since I am hoarse, and I want to talk with you and just fellowship you a little bit and invite you to come back to this meeting every night. Now, I don't know that we'll close out this coming Sunday night. We may go a month. We may just go through Sunday night. But as far as I know, we will go through Sunday night unless the Lord says no. Glad to see our brother back here. Got a brother back here that we won to the Lord down in Florida. He was a boxing champ down in Miami, Florida, I believe it was, down in the state of Florida. Won him to the Lord, and he laid his gloves down. He quit boxing, and he's fighting for Jesus now, and he's here tonight with us. Appreciate him. He's very precious to us. Now, you know, Jesus wants to do something for us. Is that right? He wants to do something for us. And he will do something for us if we can believe. Let me say this to our brothers that have stood with us. The minister brethren that have stood with us. May God bless you, my brother. I am praying every day that God will do something special for you. And this is the truth as far as I know. I have never yet had any brother minister that has ever fellowshipped us, sincerely fellowshipped us, but what God has graciously and abundantly blessed him in what he done. And I have yet to have one brother that has ever disfellowshipped us, that came to understand me and my ministry and what we was doing, but what he didn't get into serious trouble with God. And that's the truth, so help me God. So then, you that have helped us here, I'm very thankful for you. And I appreciate you so very much. I thank God for every one of you. And the laity, those that have come out, whether you be a sinner, laity of the church as a Christian, whatever, I want you to know that we appreciate you coming out here to be with us. And I am expecting in this week for God to bless this meeting. I'm not just expecting God to bless the meeting in the sense that I think it's just going to happen. I'm expecting the ministers. I'm expecting myself. I'm expecting the Christians here to band together and to pray and ask God to do something for this place and to make these grounds holy. And I want you to do something for me. If the police keep coming out here saying, turn the mic down, turn the mic down, I want everybody in here to get on the telephone, and I want you to call the chief of police, and I want you to say, Chief, we live in Jeffersonville, and we live in this area just like these other people, and we are not satisfied with two or three people complaining and running this town out here. You have your football games, and you have everything else, and you never make them turn them down. And you have your parades, and we've got this tent here for a week or two, and we are planning to have a meeting, and we want you to know that. I want you to do that for me. I want you to call them up, and I want you to do that for me. Now, I'm not teaching you to rebel against city ordinances. I'm not teaching you to rebel against the police. I'm not teaching you to do wrong. I'm just telling you that the Constitution of the United States says that we have freedom of worship. And the Constitution of the United States teaches separation of church and state, which means the state hath no power of jurisdiction over the church, not any whatsoever. The police hath no power, according to the United States Charter, over the church and its activities. And you need to stop being prisoners of those people. You love Jesus? Let them do their thing and you do your thing for God. All right. So then, I love you tonight, and I want to do what's right. And I don't want to bother anybody. But it isn't right, folks, for the devil to war against us and to take the liberties that our forefathers gave us. Did you know that the men that came over from the old country, that came here to establish this great world that we call the New World, America, they laid down their lives for this freedom. Did you know that? They came over and they were wealthy men. Some of them were exceedingly wealthy. They had great fortunes. And did you know they took their fortunes and put their fortunes down for the benefit of the people to establish a government and a place of freedom of worship that you and I might have liberty. And it's not right for us to stand by and let them rob us of it. Did you know that history teaches that not one of those men died a normal death? They killed every last one of them. The devil never rested until he destroyed every one of those great men. But did you know one of the greatest and most wealthy among them stood and watched a city burn and made the statement? He said, "There is my power of wealth. There is my money and the millions and whatever I own." He said, "But because of lewdness and because of wickedness and because it's contrary to the freedom of democracy," he said, "burn her to the ground and let her burn." That's the way he felt about it. Now, that's the way I feel today. We need people like that today, isn't that right? That's the way we should be today. What if our money powers felt that way today? What if our ministers felt that way today? I'd say that that man was a credit to the ministers of today, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? I'd say he was a credit to the ministers of today. We don't even have many ministers that feel that way. But I believe that we ought to stand for our freedom, folks. And I believe that we've got some people in jail that's real men and women of God. I've met some of them. And it's been very difficult for me to minister to you. Very difficult. Because there are some of you that I perceive that are advanced in the things of God. And there's some of you that are just little tiny babies. And you're like little kittens that's just lapping the milk. And it makes it so difficult to be able to work with you. If the ones that were advanced had control over the babes, it wouldn't be difficult. But they don't have control over the babes. It seems that there must be 5, 10, or 15 churches in this area. And it looks like every one of them is going in a different direction. I can't hardly believe it. You know, we have a lot of problem down in the area over here where the tabernacle's at, back over around Monroe. But I declare, out of all the fussing and the fighting they do for miles around, at least they agree on something. But it seems like in this area that just about every church is split up and going a different way. That's enough to drive people slap out of their minds. I don't know how they're doing as well as they're doing. But folks, we need to get together on something. Did you know that? You say, "Well, Brother Pike, they believe what they believe." But you know what they need to do? Now, this is the kind of preacher I am. Every one of those ministers need to come out here to this tent, get out here and sit down, if they have to do it when the people ain't here, and sit down under this tent. And they need to say, "Now, you see here, we're going to have a discussion. And we're going to find out who's on this Bible and who ain't on this Bible. And we're going to discuss this thing and get this thing straightened out and quit chopping these people all to pieces and divide these people's minds before God gets upset with this ministry and tears the ministry all to pieces." You know, God's going to get upset with the ministry after a while, and he's going to tear the ministry all to pieces. Did you know that? The Bible said, "I'll move them wicked shepherds that won't feed the sheep. And I'll move them shepherds that don't care nothing about the sheep, that just want to take the fleece from the sheep, that just want to take the wool from the sheep, that just want to get the offerings from the sheep, that just want to use the sheep to feed themselves. I'll move those wretched shepherds. And I'll raise up shepherds after my own heart. And I'll put those shepherds over my flock that will feed my sheep and give them meat in due season. I'll do that, saith the Lord." So then, God is going to do that if those shepherds don't get together and stop their foolishness. The Bible said everyone looks to his own quarter for his own gain. They all run to their own house and let the house of the Lord lay waste. Isn't that right? That's such a shame. That's such a shame. Not caring about the little sheep at all. No love for the people. No love for the sheep. It doesn't matter whether they're terrorized, whether they're fearful, whether they're torn up. It doesn't matter whether the beast of the field out here that's roaming around tear them up and pollute their mind. They don't care as long as they get their offerings. As long as they come in and give them a congregation to preach to. But God's going to get tired of it one of these days. And I believe that a minister, if a minister don't agree with me, he ought to have enough backbone to come out here to this tent, leave his church and come out here and say, Brother Pike, I want to talk with you. And say, I want to tell you that you're preaching false doctrine. He ought to have enough backbone to do that. You say, Brother Pike, would you change? Not one thing I'm preaching. Not one thing. Say, well, what good would it do for him to come? If he'll come out here, tell me I'm preaching false doctrine, and prove to me by the Bible that I'm preaching false doctrine, and show me what part of the Bible that I'm missing. Show me the part that's false. I'll change it in a minute. That quick. I won't fuss with him. I won't argue with him. I won't dispute with him 1 minute. I'll change it. But otherwise, just to come out here and give me his opinion, it ain't worth 15 cents to me. You love Jesus? But if he'll get enough backbone and come out here and talk to me, I'll talk to him. I say this reverently, respectfully, not because I'm a great Bible scholar, not because I'm highly favored of God above anybody else, but because I'm trying to obey the truth. I challenge anybody anywhere in the world. I don't care who he is, man, woman, great Bible scholar, little Bible scholar, denomination or non-denomination, whatever he is, preacher, scholar, professor, whatever, let him come out here. I don't care. I'll talk to him. I challenge him to come to talk to me. Anybody. But I love you, folks. And I want to help you. Not boasting. I'm just talking about Jesus. That's how much confidence I got in the Word of God and what He's taught me. That's how sure that I am, that I know where I'm going and know where I've come from and know where I'm at. Because He showed me. Now, tonight, if I wasn't that sure, I'd go back to my room and I'd stay there until I could be. And if you are a preacher and if you're not that sure, you've got no business trying to lead anybody. Because if you've got any doubt at all, you're going to wreck up somewhere, whether right or wrong. And all of them that's following you is going to wreck up. Did you know when a pilot gets under their wheel or gets a hold of one of these great airliners, he don't need to sit there and wonder whether or not he can fly that plane. He don't need to sit there and wonder whether or not he knows exactly what he's doing. He needs to know that he knows what he's doing when he turns that switch on and when he leaves the ground. You know, a little knowledge is worse than no knowledge at all. It'd be bad if he had just enough knowledge to get that plane off the ground and you in there, and didn't have enough knowledge to set that thing back down on the ground. It'd been better if he not had enough to get it off the ground and just left you down on the ground. Isn't that right? So it'd be better if that fellow that's trying to preach, if he don't know what he's doing, it'd be better he just leave the ministry alone altogether. Isn't that right? So then, brother, sister, whatever you are, Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, Presbyterian, Catholic, whatever, UPC, Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, non-denominational, charismatic. I've talked to all of them, preached to all of them. I'd be glad to preach to you, tell you about Jesus. Be glad for you to come over anytime. We got a brother here, Brother Frank Taylor, from the Church of Christ. Church of Christ scholars are some of the greatest scholars in the world. Was in college when we met him over in Cincinnati. About 6 years of college, pastor of church there. One of the best learned men in the college. Is a matter of fact, he was so advanced that he disputed with the professors and set the professors down there in the Cincinnati Bible Institute, one of their leading institutes. But did you know, when this man heard the Word of God, I found him at my door bright and early the next morning, and he said, Brother Pike, I want to hear what you're saying. He said, I never heard anything like this in my life from no professors or nobody else. And he's been with us ever since. You love Jesus? It's a wonderful experience to follow Jesus. It's a wonderful experience. You know, I'm just going to take a few more minutes and exhort you. One thing I would like to ask you to do, folks, don't be weary in well-doing. You know, people in the day that we're living in, they grow weary so quick. They're so used to programs and singing and people pushing and changing and having all kind of things until they can't get interested in nothing anymore. There's people in the day we're living in, they can't even watch a television program and be still. Did you know that? I've talked to people, they watch two television programs at one time. They'll watch this one and switch it on the other and watch a little bit and switch it on another. That's the kind of condition that people are in today. Their minds are so polluted until they don't even know what they're doing anymore. Did you know that? They're so restless, they can't sit still for nothing anymore. They're like a worm on a hot rock. But the Bible said, within your patience, possess ye your souls. Isn't that right? Within your patience, possess your soul. And I want to exhort you to learn to take a little time for Jesus. You say, I don't have time, Brother Pye. God doesn't ask us if we have time. He said, take time to be holy. He commands us to take time to be holy because we've got to answer to God. But in this revival, I ask you, be patient during the sermons. Be patient for what little time I spend up here. Be patient when I'm trying to exhort you and talk to you. Because the Bible said it's not me speaking, but God. These vocal organs tonight that's damaged, these vocal organs that I'm having problems with, that's my vocal organs. That's my problem. But the one that's giving the utterance is Almighty God. The Bible said on the day of Pentecost, the Spirit gave the utterance and the people spake with other tongues. I speak with my lips, I speak with my tongue, but the Spirit inspires and the Spirit gives the utterance. And it's not me speaking, but the Heavenly Father. Now, the Bible said, they shall all be taught of God. They shall all be taught of God. So then be reverent when God is speaking to you. Whatever you do, because you can bring a curse on you, or you can bring a blessing on you. Don't you know that you cannot walk out when God is speaking to you without being cursed? I said last night, if a person is a little babe in Christ, God will overlook it. He'll be merciful. But if a person has been in religion and they know better and they've been taught, and especially a minister, and they walk out when God is speaking through the ministry, don't you know that they're cursed from the very minute that they leave their seat to walk out of God's presence? They're cursed, my brother, sister. Do you know, and I repeat this again tonight, that the minister has the power to curse you, or he has the power to bless you? When people get up and walk out from under my tent, did you know that I have the power to curse them, or I have the power to bless them? Somebody would say, well, I don't believe that, Brother Pye. It's the truth, whether you believe it or not. The Bible said, can your unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? I have the power to do that. The Bible says I have the power to do that. When I am sent into a place of God, I am sent to that place to speak to you. Every person in that area, whether they come to the tent or not, is chargeable to God because God sent me to that area. Did you know in the early church, when a prophet walked into a town, the Bible said the whole city went out. Did you know that in the Old Testament that God sent the prophets to the kings? Did you know what the President of the United States need tonight and the kings around the nations need tonight? They need the prophet of the Lord or a prophet of God to come and tell them what's right and to straighten their polluted minds out. And everything would be all right. Now, you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that you curse people when they walk out under your tent? I certainly do not. Anybody with the heart of God in them and the compassion of Christ couldn't curse people that easy. I begged God to have mercy on them because Jesus spilt his blood for them. And I have the love of God in my heart. And it hurts me to think that they are under the curse because of their evil doings. But nevertheless, because they do the way they do, it upsets God even the more because I won't pronounce judgment upon them. In that I plead for their soul, it upsets God the more that they should insult him and insult his minister. So then the Bible said, reverence the minister, reverence the sanctuary of God. When you come into the house of God, be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of fools. Isn't that right? You know what the sacrifice of fools is? Your own opinion of your own thinking. And the Bible said, lean not to thine own understanding. Don't reason, resent, be jealous, find fault. Don't do that. Don't lean to your own understanding, but just have faith and trust in the Lord with all of your heart. I'm going to say this and I'm going to close for tonight because I know that I'm hoarse and it probably bothers you to hear me try to talk. But you know, here in this meeting, I wanted so very much to be able to bring out at least a few mysteries of God. At least a few mysteries of God here. Now you might say, well, Brother Pike, we know all the mysteries of God, so there's no need of you bringing them out. Well, now I'll say this one thing. If you do, it's the first place on earth I ever heard of that does. And it is the first place I have ever been on earth that does. And I say this, if some of you know all the mysteries, then if that be so, then everybody doesn't know them. And I speak to them that don't know the mysteries, that I'd love to be able to bring out at least a few mysteries to them that don't know. Paul said, I am made a steward of the mysteries of God. And he said, now it's made known to the church, even under the principalities and powers in heavenly places, the manifold wisdom of God. He said, and these mysteries being made known to me by the revelation of Jesus Christ, whereof I am made a steward of these mysteries. And he said, pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. The spirit of revelation. And I say this again, children of God. When he said, you pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation, he wasn't talking to sinners. He wasn't talking to sinners. What would sinners do with the spirit of revelation? Why, sinners have got to get right with God before they can even know God, let alone the mysteries of Christ. He was talking to the church. How could it be a sinner? The Bible said, we know that God heareth not a sinner's prayer. That's what the Bible says. So then, how could it be a sinner? He was speaking to the church. If you are a Christian, then you still need to pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. So then tonight, let us band together and pray that the spirit of revelation will be here in this tent. I say this humbly from my heart. Not as one lifted up, but as one that has found grace in the sight of God. The revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ has been given to me. It's been made known to me. I said this the other night. I preached for many years. I fasted. I prayed. I've been shut away when I'd cry and slobber like a mad dog for hours. Preaching, praying, fasting, traveling. I preached across the nation up and down the West Coast from West Hollywood down Los Angeles, Placentia, all across down to Mexico, Canada, all across the nation from the land of the midnight sun all the way to South America, all of the islands. But one day I came to realize there was something missing in my heart. You know what it was? The revelation. And God opened it to me. And when I came into it, the first thing I thought, my God, I'm losing my mind. I'm losing my mind. After all of the fellowship I'd had with God, after all the things He made known to me, it was so great and so mighty. and so exciting. So I thought, I'm losing my mind. Then I thought, but my God, if this is losing your mind, it's the most exciting thing ever done in my life. It's the most thrilling thing ever done. Surely people don't feel like this when they lose their minds. And then all of a sudden, I realized it was the revelation of Jesus. And I found out it was so beautiful. And I said, God, this is something I don't understand. I said, Lord, I read in the Bible where the Apostle Paul said, though an angel come to you with anything other than what I have preached to you, let him be accursed. I said, God, if something comes to me that won't fit that Bible, I refuse to have it. But did you know I never found one thing in the revelation of Jesus Christ but what it fit just beautifully perfect. And it is so lovely. And I never really understood the Bible until I got the revelation. And you know that's what's wrong with the pastors in this area right now. Did you know that's what's wrong with the preachers across the world? They're never going to get together, and the churches are never going to come together, and the people are never going to get together until they get the revelation of Jesus Christ, because they cannot understand spiritual things by natural definition. The scriptures are of no private interpretation. Did you know Paul the apostle said, I am the apostle to the Gentile church. And the first thing that God did was set this church up on spiritual revelation. He said, God gave me the revelation of Jesus Christ. John said, God gave me the revelation of Jesus Christ. And Paul being the one that established this church, folks, it means that this church is the church of revelation, and the preachers and pastors and people and flocks are never going to understand it and be raptured or translated until they get back to what their great overseer, the Apostle Paul, founded when God set it in order, the revelation. So then pray that God will grant unto you the spirit of revelation. May the Lord bless you tonight, my brother, sister. I appreciate you bearing with me, being hoarse like this. Throat being tied up. I know it bothers you to have to listen. It bothers me. You know, I just love to just scream out. The Bible said, lift up your voice like a trumpet. I love to just holler out the gospel. But nevertheless, we have to do it one way or another. So I love you tonight. I appreciate you. And I want to say this again to my brothers in Christ, the minister brethren, and those that are of reputation that labor in the gospel, men and women alike, I give double honor to you tonight. For the Bible said, honor the brotherhood, give double honor to them that labor in the gospel. And brother, let me tell you something. It is one thing to have the honor of men. The Bible said, how can you have honor of God when you seek honor one of another? While you're striving to get a PhD or get some kind of earthly degree, which is some kind of written document from some man, that's one thing. But brother, let me tell you, when God gives you honor, that is really something. To Him be all honor, glory, praise, and majesty. And to you that labor in the gospel, He said, I praise you. I praise you. We don't just praise God, but they glorified Christ within the people. Paul said, they glorified Christ within me. He said, I'll make them come and kneel at your feet and know that I've loved you. And Paul said, I praise you. I praise you in a good thing. I praise you in a good thing. And he said, I give double honor to you. So tonight, you that labor in the Lord, from God, I give double honor to you tonight as those that labor in the Lord. May God bless you, richly bless you, strengthen you, and lift you up into the things of God. I want you to rise to your feet, if you will. Now, when I ask you this, I know perhaps some of you might draw back a little bit because a lot of people don't like to make commitments. A lot of times you're taking an offering, and I'm not going to take an offering. I don't take offerings, personal offerings or whatever. I made the statement last night that I didn't take any personal offerings. I lost about two or three families. I guess they believe in taking personal offerings. I never lost people before making a statement like that. But if they got offended, I'm sorry. I still don't take personal offerings. We got a system where offerings come into our work and we use it for the glory of God. But I found out the worst thing a minister can do is mess around with money. That's what always gets a minister in trouble. So I just don't mess with it. I always spend my time with God. He meets all my needs. Now, you ask a person to make a commitment, and they don't like to make a commitment because they feel obligated, and they feel like, well, something may come up and I have to do this or I have to do that, and they don't make a commitment. Whereas a lot of times you go to take an offering and the man of God or somebody will ask him to make a commitment to the Lord, and they'll say, well, I don't believe in pledging. I don't believe in making commitments. Whereas they'll go right out of the house of God and they'll buy a new car, and the man will say, have to pay on it 24 months. I'll say, here's my commitment. I want to buy a house, have to pay on it 30 years. Here's my commitment. They'll go back to the church, say, how about making a commitment for $10? I don't believe in making commitments. They go out the next day, say, I want to buy a refrigerator. I want to put in a phone. I want to turn on the lights. You understand what I'm saying, folks? That's the way it is. They say, I want to go to work for you. You just about have to sell them your soul, promise to be there at 8 o'clock, promise to do this, promise you won't lay out, promise you work every day. You make the commitment. You know, you strain in an ant, swallowing a camel, the devil blinds you, and on you go in a rage. But tonight I'd love to ask you for a simple commitment. And I don't want you to raise your hand, not to even put you on the spot, but just in your heart. I wonder how many of you tonight would make a commitment to God in your heart tonight, saying, Father, I'm going to come back to this tent, and I'm going to take this last week, if this be the last week. I'm going to take the last week of this meeting, and I'm going to stand with this evangelist, and I'm going to stand with these brothers and sisters. They've got a lot invested in this, and I'm going to give my prayer and my time and coming here, helping, supporting, not asking for money, just your presence, and doing all that I can to see that souls is won into the kingdom of God. I'm going to do that. If you'll do that this week, we can make this one glorious week for God. And will you go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that the house of God be filled up? Folks, listen, this is your opportunity. I'm going to say this and try to close. We're only passing this way one time. This is the king's matter. And the Bible said the king's matter requires haste. And we're only passing this way one time. After this, it'll be all over. The Bible said God gave the word. Great was the multitude of them that published it. Let him that received the message in the latter times make haste or run with it. So then let's do this. Let's purpose in our heart that this is our golden opportunity. We have been requested of the king. The king has requested our service. Not the president, though great it would be. Not the kings of the earth, though honorable it would be. But the Lord of lords and the King of kings has requested our service for 1 week. To labor for him in the sense of inviting somebody, encouraging somebody, helping to straighten somebody's mind out, telling somebody or working with somebody to get them to come to the house of God for 1 week to do something for God, because this week will then be over. You'll never be able to go back to it. Whatever you do in the future or don't do, it will never suffice for the past week or the past years. That's on record for you or against you. And the great God of heaven is requesting your service. Will you therefore give him your service for a few days and honor the King and the Lord of hosts in this we ask you to do? The Bible said, inasmuch as you do it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me, and I'm less than the least. I'm less than nothing. Now, I say this again. You say, well, I don't believe you of God. I don't believe God sent you. If I'm not of God, if God didn't send me, you've done no harm. You've done no harm. No harm by bringing them here to this tent. You say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? Back there in the days of the Jews, they sold in the synagogue. They peddled in the synagogue. They were not right with God. But Jesus said, do what they said do. Just don't do after their doings. You won't be done any harm. Paul said, whether the gospel be preached for contention or otherwise, nevertheless the gospel is preached. He said, even the ministers of Satan has transformed themselves into ministers of light, which means the word of light. So they're still talking about the gospel, whatever their motive. Now, you won't be done any harm, but I'll tell you one thing, you won't be lost anything. But if I am of God, and if God did send me, and if you don't do it, then you failed the king's request. And brother, you've done one of the greatest injustices to yourself and to the kingdom of God that you'll ever do in your entire lifetime. So then I ask you to do that tonight. As we sing a little chorus together, I'm going to ask our brother Taylor to come back. And I want you to sing a little chorus together. I want you to lift your hands up just before we sing. And I want to pray for you tonight. I want to offer my prayers tonight. Now you might say, well, I don't want your prayers, Brother Pike. But I don't believe you feel that way, because you wouldn't be here tonight. I believe you want my prayers. I believe you regard my prayers. And truly, if I pray for you, I believe God will answer my prayers. And I want to pray for you tonight. And the Bible said, them that you bless will be blessed. Them that you curse will be cursed. How then can I curse that which God has blessed? That which he has shed his blood for? So I ask you to lift your hands with me tonight. I want to bless you tonight. In the name of Jesus, I want to pray that God will bless you. And I want to bless you in his name tonight. So lift your hands up together. And let's worship together. Now, I've not preached hard at you, folks. I know some of you that come and some that's not here that's come. They think I preached hard. One of my brothers told me the other night. Said, Brother Pike, I've been with you a long time. Said, you sure have been preaching light in these meetings. Said, you ain't hardly preached hard at all in these meetings. So I preach real light in these meetings because I know the need that's here. And I try to be real easy on you. The Lord showed me a vision to do that, because he's got a lot of little ones he's trying to reach. And I'm trying to help you. But let's grow up in the grace. Not only in the grace, but he said in the knowledge too. Perfecting holiness unto the Lord. Let's do that. Let's go into perfection, can we? Just lift our hands together. Close your eyes tonight. And let me pray with you. Father of heaven, as I close my eyes tonight with the people, as I lift my hands tonight to heaven, these people have been very sweet and very courteous tonight. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray that they will not be unrewarded. I'm asking you in the name of Jesus to come down over this audience in the lovely name of your darling Son Jesus. I feel him here tonight. I feel his wonderful presence. And I ask you to heal tonight. And I feel you healing tonight, Jesus. I feel you healing these people tonight. And I ask you to heal tonight. Father, heal these people tonight. Heal them in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. My Father, heal them and forgive them of their sins. Father, take away their iniquities. God, blot the past out. Give them a new life. Give them a new future. Bless them and help them tonight. In the lovely name of your wonderful Son, Father, do something special and outstanding for them tonight. Bless them financially. Bless them physically. Bless them spiritually. I ask you to do it in the name of Jesus. Bless their loved ones. Give them the desires of their heart. I ask you to do it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Be sure to come back and be with us tomorrow. Don't forget us. Just remember, they say it's going to warm up tomorrow. And we're looking for a real meeting here in Jeff Taylor.